Welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer. Special guest tonight, Lisa Schmidt from the Philadelphia area. An amazing woman with an amazing story. And we will begin with her in a minute, but let's begin as we always do in prayer. So, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, as Lisa and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, that our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In your name we pray. Amen. And in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Welcome. It's great to be here with you, Joe.
I'm excited that you're here. No such thing as a coincidence. Lisa came into my life through my daughter, as many of my relationships have. her son and my daughter, her sons and my daughter are dear friends. And they go to Lansdale Catholic together. And we're just talking about the amazing culture up there with beginning with campus ministry and just so many great families and just such an amazing place and well worth the investment that we made as
Absolutely.
Parents of young people. So Lisa grew up in Langhorne, PA with a sister and her mom and dad. She attended Assumption BVM in Feasterville, PA for grade school. I always loved that because we spent really 9 years outside of Philadelphia, the Philadelphia area, but philocentric people that we are, when you started to grow up, move up the food chain, it was like, hey, what parish are you from, right?
And,
and then you tried to connect the dots with regions and sports and stuff like that. But when you leave the Philadelphia area, you don't get that.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, yeah, it's really. Yeah. I mean, we lived in Rhode Island, and the notion of CYO, I think there was in the entire state. Now Rhode Island's a small state.
Sure.
But, there was like three Catholic grade schools, so CYO meant nothing.
Nothing.
To most people.
So oh my gosh, we get it's spoiled. So big here.
Yeah, we get spoiled down here in the Philadelphia area. So her mom was Catholic, her dad was Presbyterian. We'll talk about that. Almost kind of the best of both worlds there with the Bible, the knowledge of the Bible base. You know, in our Protestant brothers and sisters who oftentimes they're more well-versed in the Bible than mm-hmm. us Catholics. But she would go to, so she had to double duty on Sunday. She would go to
Absolutely.
Summer Sunday school at the Presbyterian church and then off to the noon mass at the Catholic church. So that we'll touch base on that and the experience of growing up with two denominations. Then she attended the Awana Club on Friday nights where she learned all of her Bible verses, which is pretty
and
awesome.
And won like little, you know, awards and jewels for those.
No doubt.
Which and I still have somewhere.
That's awesome. And then in high school, she attended the All Girls Catholic High School Nazareth Academy in the Northeast. She went on from there to attend Millersville University where she got her degree in secondary education and has spent her career as a lifelong teacher. So thank you for that call of duty, so to speak, that service. No easy feat being a lifelong educator and seeing how some of those challenges have morphed into big challenges over the years.
But I have to say, I do love it, Joe.
That's awesome.
I do love it.
That's awesome. So she's been teaching math at Neshaminy for the last 23 years, married for almost 25 years to her high school sweetheart, mother of three amazing teenagers, set of twins in high school, and then she has an older son who's in college. All three have attended Catholic high schools. And her family, she and her family live in Doylestown and are active members of Our Lady of Mount Carmel Parish, where our beloved Father Dave
resides. That's right.
And he feeds us as he always does with both his actions and his words. So, again, welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you, Joe. Happy to be here.
So, kind of coming up, let's why don't we just tell the listeners, why don't we start out with your upbringing, your family, your high school experience, and then on to college.
Okay, well, it's funny because my mother you had a question for me coming up about my spiritual, who really grew my faith the most, and I would say 100% my mom. My mom was so unique in the sense that, yes, she was Catholic, but she just always taught us, you know, that it wasn't about, you know, all the little things over here in the Catholic Church. You know, when you go, it's about being with Jesus. It's Amen. About your time with Jesus. And, you know, when I met my husband years later, he said to me, boy, your mom's different. You know, like she makes it simple. Because it really is simple.
Yeah.
God doesn't have to be confusing. It doesn't. And I think sometimes we get stuck, you know, with different things in the faith or, you know, the background of the Catholic Church or the Protestant or whatever it might be. But really, when you get down to it, you know, it's your relationship with God and that's it. And
Amen.
I think for me, I always held on to that, you know, all growing up, even though I went to Catholic school all the way through. I mean, on Sundays, yeah, I had to go to the Presbyterian church for Sunday school and then off to Mass and then on Friday night, Sijuana Club. And it was so funny because even when I was in Girl Scouts growing up, we'd go away camping for the weekend. We'd come home and, of course, we still had to do Mass. We missed the Sunday school, but we still had to do Mass. So I became known as like the church lady, you know,
awesome.
In the group because I would always have to go, you know, on Sunday evenings. You know, we never missed. And my mom would just always, like I said, she always remind us, remember, it's just about your time with God. It's about your time with God. And I've held on to that all these years. And I'm so grateful for my mom because not only did she give that to me and my sister, she also gave it to my boys. And she is such a big part of all of our faith journey, my husband, all of us. And I'm so thankful to have her. I lost my dad when I was 24.
Okay.
He had passed away of esophageal cancer. And I watched him in that year when he was so sick, and him and my mom just spent more time together and grew in faith. And it was unbelievable to see that, you know, to see the two of them grow together. And again, there was a lot of differences. My dad would come to Catholic church with us on Sundays occasionally. And when, of course, we would show up, the pastor would say, oh, the bishop's here, because my last name was Bishop, right?
Yeah, there you go.
So when my dad would come, oh, the bishop's here, you know, and he would get a kick out of that.
I always feel, I knew you have three sons. I've two sons and my beloved Kira. You know,
yes,
well.
Of course. I love Kira.
But I always feel like, you know, we're certainly modeling our faith for our same sex, right? So I'm modeling my faith for my sons. But I often feel like, and I didn't realize this until probably the last probably year and a half, 2 years of my life, like, I'm modeling what I hope my daughter sees as adult Catholic manhood too.
Mm-hmm.
And because at some point, you know, God willing, they have life partners and they get married.
Exactly.
And they raise families. And, you know, I think for your three sons to see a woman of strong faith, you know, and I really believe this, not to say that they have to marry somebody in the faith, but
right.
I think the standard is set when you see somebody that has that conviction and that sense of purpose and passion for their faith, as you do. Like, I think that I guess, you know, we're modeling it for all of us, but I've grown to appreciate us modeling it for the opposite sex a little more too.
Well, I think too, you touched on something that's so important. It's not just even for our own children, it's for our grandchildren.
Absolutely.
And generations to come, right? And it's so interesting to me because I grew up with so many people in, you know, going to Catholic school. We all went to Catholic school, and yet, you know, I know it's changed in terms of over the years, you know, it costs more money and not everybody can give that to their kids. But, you know, and I know I've said this before, I think it is also what's in your household and what you're modeling. But I was always fortunate enough to have the boys also be able to go to Catholic school. So they,
sure.
they got to, you know, live out that each and every day. And they'd come home and we'd talk about different things. And they would ask questions that were so unbelievable. I mean, I was just talking to my friend the other day. And her little ones are in COIO. And you know, just some of the conversation, it's so exciting.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
Here's another
yeah.
little generation coming
sure.
up, 6 years old, you know,
and
asking questions.
You feel like an obligation.
Absolutely.
I know. The older I get, I feel like, as I close in on the back nine of life, it's like, man, what's my legacy? My legacy's, our legacy is going to be like, what did we do for the people we left behind?
Absolutely.
You know,
I think about that all the time.
I do too.
I do. And it's not just, it's not even just necessarily, you know, our families. It could be our friends and how we've impacted them along the way that they're then taking back to others in their lives.
It's exponential.
It's exponential. Yeah, exactly. As a math term, there you go.
That's as far as I'll get with math, I promise you. I was an English major. But, you know, we talked about the investment in Catholic education. I know that wasn't one of the topics. But, like, I feel like, and I agree with you, like, it's the best money we spent as parents. Because, like, and I think, I do think LC particularly, like, it's unapologetically Catholic. And here's what I mean by that. Like, I think navigating the halls and the classrooms of many of our Catholic schools, particularly in Philadelphia, really, Philly's the birthplace.
Sure.
Philly's the birthplace of Catholic education, right? With John Newman and the like. But Catherine Drexel, same thing. But I think a lot of these schools have, like, as more and more non-Catholics have been attracted to and enrolled in Catholic schools because strictly of the academic component, which is a huge part of it, right? But like, you know, in terms of faith formation and the moral compass and that stuff. And I do think some of the schools in the diocese, you know, in an attempt to keep people in seats and enrollment where it needs to be, you know, have gone the way of maybe not as Catholic, for lack of a better term. But I do love the fact that, you know, again, there's a place for everybody at the table at LC. There's no question about that.
Oh, absolutely.
But it doesn't apologize for its Catholic mission, its Catholic mantra, and I think that like that's pretty awesome.
I totally agree. And I was fortunate enough, even for my boys at Our Lady Mount Carmel all those years, I mean, the fact that I was able to get, you know, their 9 years there from kindergarten to eighth grade and then the high school to have two great experiences, you know, where the boys were surrounded by families who, you know, grew up with, you know, the kids are all grown up with the same faith values and the expectations of their parents. And, you know, you never worry, like, I'm going to send them over to your house because, you know, we love sending them over to your house. You're doing daily prayers at dinner, too. You know, things that they see are, you know, in their community, you know, for them, that becomes very important to them. You know, I used to always laugh at when I think about my older son, because, you know, I can remember him being little and he's standing on the edge of the diving board and he's so scared. And he turns around and he walks back up. And I see him bless himself. And next thing he's saying a little prayer. Then he walks down the other end and he jumps off.
That's awesome.
And I thought, gosh, total there's surrender. My dollars. Yeah. At hard work.
That's
that could
awesome.
Be me too, but at the same time, he's getting it at school also. So
that's awesome.
It just, and I watched him over the years, you know, every time, even at school. I know he called you sitting there. I know, and in his head, he's saying grace. Like, it just, it's little
that's
things.
Comforting.
And it's just even if it's just a minute that he takes with God in his day, you know, and that's that minute, then that's great, you
definitely.
Know. And I know he takes more minutes, but I mean, I'm just saying, you know,
that's pretty awesome.
You look at your kids and when things like that transpire over the years and you look at all the people that you have met and the kids and who their friends are and their teacher, like, I just, like, I can't say enough great things.
I really can't.
And I look at my boys and it's funny because, you know, we've had conversations about this too. You know, and I'm a public school teacher.
Sure.
I teach wonderful kids. I really do. I have amazing staff that I work with that I adore and the students. And, you know, and not everybody has the same, you know, faith background. And that, again, I think that's part of my upbringing. Like, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. But I've, you know, when I've had this conversation with the boys are like, Mom, our kids are going to go to Catholic school. We just love it. You know, and sometimes it doesn't work out. You know, we've just been very fortunate. And I think also very blessed. I look at it like God really guided us to where we're supposed to be because I didn't necessarily, you know, have a school in mind. You know, we moved and the intention was for when we moved, I said, okay, we're going to put our kids in Catholic school. Let's go shop some churches.
Sure.
We're going to go to this one on Mass on Sunday and see what this is like. And we'll go over here. And we did do that. And then at the same time, when it came time for high school, and I always said, look, bottom line is, you know, if any of the children need any kind of special education, you know, the Catholic school really can't provide necessarily what they need.
Sure.
So I said, we're going to try this. And if not, then we go this other route and it's no big deal. We're in Central Bucks. It's a good school district.
Yep.
It'll be fine either way. And so when it came time for high school, you know, my older one had gone to a different high school, and then Cameron and Kyle, this opportunity came up. And again, like, God led us there. You know, I look at the experience they have. I look at the faith that they've developed over the years, the friends they've made. And I know my one of the twins, my son Cameron, is having such a hard time leaving high school.
No doubt.
He really is. He's very nervous about who he's going to meet and will they have the same values as
sure.
me? And is it going to be the same? He struggles with this a lot, you know? So it's so comforting as a parent, though, to know, boy, you got this down, kid.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about who you're going to connect with in
no
life.
Doubt.
Because.
And I do think a lot of our peers, you know, I don't know. I just feel like I look at the greatest growth in population in Catholic schools isn't the non-Catholics, it's the non-practicing Catholics.
Oh, yeah.
And I do feel like that's a lazy way out.
Sure.
You know what I
sure.
mean? I feel like, because they're getting faith formation
right.
at school.
So you think that that's enough
yeah,
and that's it.
Yeah, but I do believe in our heart, as do you, like, hey, what we're doing at home? Are we praying before meals? Are we being called out when we're not doing the things we need to do? Are we going to worship communally? Like,
agree.
That's like, you know, and you know, I almost feel like our generation, you know, people in our cohort, it's kind of like, oh no, they're getting what they need at church.
And look, it's not easy, right? You know, families have different schedules. Some work on Sundays, and
sure.
it's sometimes very hard to make that work for certain families. You know, but. But again, it can be about a lot of things,
absolutely.
Right? Like, it can be about a lot of things. Like you said, what are you doing at home? And I'm telling you, you know, I have another friend at school who recently became a Catholic, and she says, I'm going to listen tonight while I'm on, my kids are in CCD.
That's
you know,
awesome.
And you have all these different people putting it together. So you're right. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the Catholic school. It's what are you practicing
no doubt.
With your family outside of your, you know, of your school day or whatever it might be, you know,
absolutely.
Of CCD or whatever that you're doing to, you know, keep that faith going for the kids and
yeah.
ignite it, because it's so easy to get lost.
I just read a great article probably about 2 weeks ago. It was by a rabbi in the New York Times. The article was probably 2 years old, but the article was basically entitled, If You Don't Believe in God, Lie to Your Children. And they said, because they said, With the mental health crisis that we're in
oh, that's
right
an
now,
interesting thought,
they said
yeah.
and across the denominations, right? It, you know, it's almost like families of faith based formation and practicing, Jews and Catholics
right.
and Protestants. If you're participating in the faith journey and going to service on Sunday, you're like it's a disproportionately high number of that enjoy better mental health.
Oh, I would agree with that, because you feel like you have something to fall back
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
There's always that, I'm afraid, I'm scared,
absolutely.
I don't know where to turn, how do I get out of this, you know?
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of kids, I mean,
yeah,
it's
now more
very
than ever.
Hard.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, look at my son at 7. He knew yeah. at 7, you know, that this is where he could go. You
sure.
know, he was scared to death on that diving board,
sure.
and this is where he could go. And that takes him through. And I mean, I know we're going to talk about his journey in a minute, but all those things you realize come back and you think, wow, you know, this means a lot. It does
yeah.
for the mental health. Absolutely. It's huge. And I know even for myself, you know, even just with the crisis our family had been through in the last couple of years, which still is not over. But at
sure.
the same time, I don't know what I would do without
no, no.
God. I have no
yeah.
idea. And that experience has only made my faith even stronger.
That's awesome.
You know, I mean, I feel like I'm way more positive than I ever was. And that could easily take me down
sure.
a path of negativity. And
sure, no doubt.
But, you know, and that's where when kids or families have hard things going
the foundation,
what do you do?
I'm reminded when I think of your story, and we'll get to it in a second, but I think of like, you know, the parable of, you know, what was the house built on? The house that was built
yep.
on sand.
I know.
You
Love
know,
that
like
one.
If it's, you know, when the weather's, the sun's out and the wind's not blowing and the tide's not on us, like the house looks great. And then like when and here's the thing.
When the storm beats
yeah,
down.
As mm-hmm. you know, you've had, you know, major crisis in your family, but like you live long enough, like crisis hits us all, right?
That's right.
And I tell my kids, hey, my faith, like, you know, I've been fired from jobs. I mean, I've buried loved ones. I've had,
sure.
you know, like my faith has gotten me through mm-hmm. the darkest times of my life. And I want that for my kids, as right. do you, because life will kick them in the face.
Absolutely.
You know, in some cases, yeah. sooner rather than later. So let's talk, you know, one okay. of the reasons, although I will say this, my daughter who, you know, can be a challenge. She's like been like your number one fan since the time she met you. So she's like, hey, Dad, you have to have Mr. Schmidt on your show because she is amazing.
Well, she makes me laugh so much. Yeah. I mean, there's times where I think, boy, that kid, if I had a daughter, she would be just like her.
Oh, man, too funny. But she's like, and she shared a little bit of your journey as a family. So why don't we talk about that? So, you know, you have a son that's had, you know, been diagnosed with cancer.
Yes.
And certainly talk us through the early
okay.
process with that, and how you guys have been able to just lean on your faith throughout.
Well, it's interesting because Andrew was diagnosed with leukemia 2 years ago, and his treatment, he's still going to be going through treatment through June. So, but when you step back and look at how far he's come, I mean, he's able to be in college right now in
Amazing.
Connecticut. He doesn't have to be local. He's been away, and God is making it work for him. And I mean, the whole journey is really unbelievable how when you really look at where God played in all of this, because the one thing that always sticks out in my mind, I'll never forget, somebody said, aren't you just so angry at God? You know, and my first response was no. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But when Andrew started, I remember him, he had broken his thumb. And, you know, the doctor said, oh, it's leftover anesthesia in his system. He was having, like, you know, weird side effects. And this was maybe like a couple weeks after. And next thing you know, all these signs starting. He had horrible mouth sores, and he had joint pain and night sweats and all these weird things, you know. And it's crazy because I didn't know at that point. None of us knew. This was in January of 2021, January 2021. And it's crazy because at that point in time, Christmas is over. It's, you know, January 4th. School's going back. And I turn on the radio and, you know, I start turning the K-Love radio station on,
Amen.
You know, which, you know, my mom's been trying to get me to listen to for years, you know, and it's, and I would put it on from time to time, you know, and not, you know, and enjoy it, but, you know, always switch to something else.
Sure.
So I get on the radio and it says, oh, take the challenge, you know, 30 days,
yeah.
see if it doesn't change your life.
And I'm laughing because I did
well,
the same.
I know. And I'm cracking up because halfway through the month, you know, Andrew's going through all these things, and I'm like, boy, this radio station is really going to help somebody who's going through a lot right now. No idea
sure.
it was going to be me, you know,
sure.
and probably many others out there as well. But, you know, a few months now, again, I was listening every day. I really dove into it. I started to really enjoy it. And by the time February 11th is when Andrew was diagnosed. Mm. And it's crazy because in that period of time, I had a student who also had cancer that year. In my class. And in high school, it's rare. We don't get too many
sure.
students that we know of that had cancer. A lot of times, they're younger diagnosed
sure.
and they're done their treatment. But I had one simultaneously. And I remember just saying to Andrew, you know, just remember, hon, somebody always has it worse. And this was before he was diagnosed. There's always somebody out there that has it worse that we can pray for. Like, it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And at that point in time, I had said, well, you know, just look at my student. She's battling cancer. Now, you can imagine, 2 weeks later, we find
sure.
out, and Andrew says, Mom, you wished this. How
sure.
did you? How do you make this happen?
Sure.
Because it's not the first time that's happened. You know, you're at the bottom of the steps. I say, keep standing on that basketball. You're going to break your wrist. Sure enough, they get to the top of the steps. The other one breaks his wrist. I said, look, this is just Mom's intuition. What
sure.
can I say? And he was so mad. I said, look, do you really think I have that kind of power? I
sure.
mean, come on now.
Too
you
funny.
Know, it was funny. But anyway, you know, at that point in time when he was diagnosed, it's like, you know, your whole world is uprooted. You know, he's 17 years old and he's a senior in high school. And now what's his future look like? You know, you start to get so scared. Cancer is, I mean, my dad died when I was 24. You know, I've been down that journey, completely different, you know, type of cancer.
Sure.
And I didn't know anything about this. But he is on the older end. You know, a lot of times they, you know, the younger kids are the ones who are most successful with treatment. So it's very, very scary. And at that time you're in the hospital and it's COVID, right? So nobody can be there with you. No one, right? It's you and your husband and that's it, you know, and no one else is allowed to come in. No one else can see him. And it was challenging because, you know, my twins turned 16 on the 12th. So now Andrew's diagnosed on the 11th. The 16th, they get diagnosed. And I say to my husband, look, just take the two of them. Take them. Get everybody's mind off of what's going on. Take them. And they needed it. You know, no one knew what was going on. They couldn't see their brother. It was chaotic. So I'm alone that day. And, it was just God and I that day. And I was so scared. And Andrew's in there getting his port put in. And they're doing his bone marrow to do more testing and all these things. And I'm just like, oh, I don't even know who to turn to. I'm so scared. And of course, at that point, everybody's reaching out. You know, the word's getting out there that this is what's going on with Andrew. And I remember thinking to myself, right now, I need all my faith-based people. Where are you all? One of the people I had reached out to was the principal at the Mount Carmel that day. And I just adore her. I don't know if she's listening, but I reached out and I said, Andrew just needs prayer. You know, and that day, all the teachers stayed and prayed. You know,
that's awesome.
Where do you get, like, that's, again, it goes back to Catholic school.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just crying thinking about it because it was such a moving piece in my life to say,
I'll
there's God. There he is.
Yeah.
You know, and people say, aren't you angry? I said, are you kidding? God didn't cause my cancer. Did God know that was going to be in his future? Of course.
Yeah.
God knows everything about us. But there's so much evil in this world too, right? And so what God did was set us up for 17, 18 years of that kid's life and putting all these people in our path to help us on that journey.
No doubt.
And I'm telling you, there were people, you know, people from this elementary school, people I didn't even know, dropping off meals, you know. And I mean, we're talking meals 5 days a week.
Sure.
From February to June till I was done school. I mean, it was people from old soccer teams, basketball teams, the staff at my school,
awesome.
And my students. You want to talk about being a teacher. You know, it was at that time where, you know, teenagers are tough, right? Like, and you just saw I got to see such a different side of them. You know, like, I've always loved my job. Always. I've always loved the students. But wow, could you see those kids and their concern and their care? And there's times where I'm down at CHOP and I'm doing Zoom and I'm in the hospital in the hallway on Zoom teaching classes while Andrew's in the hospital. And the kids, the appreciation, I mean, not that you need any. I don't need any of that as a teacher.
Sure.
But boy, did I feel loved.
No doubt.
I felt so loved. And that was one more time, you know, that God's there showing up.
Sure.
And it's been, you know, and every day I stop and think, you know, and it's funny, you kind of move along this journey and Andrew's, of course, in a better place. And we had a lot of scary moments on that journey.
Scary moments.
I remember one night, friends of ours dropped off Center Rosary. And, you know, we're outside talking. And the boy's like, Mom, Dad needs you. And I'm like, I'll be in a minute. Mom, Dad needs you. And I'm like, what's going on? And Andrew was having a horrible, they called it a neurotoxicity in his brain. All this misfiring going on. His legs were all over. He couldn't put words together. It was so scary. And Cameron and I are there, and we grabbed those rosaries, and we're praying so hard. And, you know, and it's funny, because, again, in the Catholic faith, you have all these different things, right? You have the rosaries.
Sure,
you pray to Mary.
Yeah.
And my mom always said, go to God. You got the best. Just go right to God.
Right to the source.
Right to the source. You know, but at that moment, you know, it was like, you know, we're praying, but at the same time, it was just as a mother, you know, I could identify with Mary at that point because I thought, here she was on the cross watching her son,
sure.
You know, and here's me. And it was like, whew, you know, and who knew that that person was going to show up that night with that set of rosary?
Absolutely.
You know, you just, God
no
works
such thing
in
as such, a coincidence.
No, 100%, 100%. You know, it's like every single day. And it's so funny because I look at life a little differently anymore because I think, I really don't worry about things until I have to.
Sure.
Why am I worrying about this? God, you've got this.
Amen.
You've got
Total
this.
Total surrender.
I know. And again, it's all about faith, right? It's very hard to give it over to God and say, God, I know you're going to take care of my son, but I also know what's in your plan is your plan.
Amen.
And I have to accept whatever that is. And as much as I want this to be 100%, I look at my dad. I mean, I lost my dad. We prayed so hard to keep him.
Sure.
Do I know why we never got to keep him? No. But for whatever reason, I always said to my boys, you never got to know your grandfather, but I'll tell you what, you have a special angel. God needed him up there. And there's not a day that goes by I know he's not watching over you.
That's
and taking
awesome.
Care of you in all your sporting events.
That,
and all. It's just...
As you say it, I'm reminded. I don't know who ended up saying it, but the line goes, I never knew God was all I needed until God was all I had.
Yes, and that's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's so true. And, you know, it's funny. Andrew just said to me the other day, he's like, Mom, you know, you don't really realize, and not everybody gets to go through really tough experiences like this.
We got to take a break.
Okay,
we're going
to
come back.
We'll get back
We're going
to
come back here in about 90 seconds with Lisa Schmidt our guest for tonight.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, with Lisa Schmidt. Lisa, we're talking about, I did stop you mid-sentence there about your son, but we're talking about how, he's at a great spot right now, and I do want to talk about, like, when the lightning bolt hits out of the sky, the one thing, it grounds us, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm going to call it a blessing, as crazy
it
as
is.
That sounds.
I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
People are going to think I'm crazy to say that out loud. But I look at this every day. It's an odd kind of blessing.
Yeah.
But I
you don't sweat any of the BS.
Nothing.
Like, you
don't. Nothing.
Like, you don't sweat, like,
nope.
a bigger house or a bigger,
nope.
a bigger, another this or another that or another car. Or,
no.
You know, things that don't matter.
Don't
and
matter.
Like, And your perspective, and that in and of itself makes it a blessing.
And it's a gift. I mean, I look at it like, wow, how did I? Not that I want anybody to have to go through anything that I've gone through, because
sure.
it's a lot. And especially without faith, I don't I don't know how you do it. I really don't know how people do it, because it's really hard. And you can, like I said, you can easily get into some very dark places.
Oh, got it. And then it's self-medicate.
It is.
You know, the ebb and flow with our kids, right? Like, so... You know, I got a 23 and a soon to be 21, and then Kieran. But it's like, and then like any relationship, right? It's like, you know, like, you hope that we're planting seeds that, you know, might be harvested, you know, immediately. Some of them may be
right.
not harvested till years later, and so on God's time. But like, hey, son, you will have a crisis in your life, like, where you get knocked off the horse, like St. Paul, and like,
absolutely right.
In the
that's
face.
What it was like.
And like, I pray, like, that's why, like, if you, you know, your faith will get you through the darkness. You'll learn to surrender. I laugh because, I look at I was talking about this a couple weeks ago at our men's group. It's like, as yoga's taken off and meditation,
mm-hmm,
right? It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, what was once contemplative prayer now has the sexy term of meditation to it, and
yeah.
intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
You know, we've been fasting, you know.
Now
it's got a new sexy term. But like, all of it is like, it's like self with AA, right? It's like with addictions programs. It's like, well, surrender. Yeah, no duh. Who are you surrendering
right.
to? You're surrendering to your God.
Yeah.
Like, because me, all of us, we can't handle it on our own.
No.
And left to our own devices, we'll screw the whole thing up. You know,
it's
but
true.
It's like you have a lightning bolt that happens. And forever, like, gratitude, right? Like, I think I feel bad for, for young people, like, you're looking at, like, comparison's the thief of happiness, right? So I tell my daughter, like, she sees the, you're on Facebook, you're on whatever, not Facebook, God, that's we're
TikTok?
Dinosaurs. Yeah, but you're on all these self, you're looking at other people's highlight
sure,
reels.
Sure, right, right.
Instagram and Twitter and all that. And young people are so consumed
are.
With what they don't have.
It's the truth.
Instead of being grateful for what they have.
Exactly.
And gratitude, with this gift of, as crazy as it sounds, the in God's great providence, like the blessings that have come from this.
Well, and I think in a lot of areas too, no matter, I mean, I was fortunate enough to have, you know, my husband by my side through this whole thing. I mean, I had somebody to lean on, but I remember being down at CHOP, and not all families had that, you know,
sure.
And how hard it was for them, and, you know, being able to be there and talk to them. And, you know, it's tough, because I think you're right. You look at, you know, young people, and they always look at those things. But in all areas, whether it's addiction or you look and you're able to step back and you say, I have my life.
No,
you know,
no.
I have my life. And that's where, you know, I have Andrew's life. You know, the boys have their brother. You know, we all have him, you know, and that kid's a fighter. And God made him the way he was.
Amen.
Like, I mean, so I look at him and I always say, I said, had that kid gone to college a year ago, he's not the same kid. He
sure.
is not. You know, a friend of mine said, it's going to change him. You watch. And this kid, I mean, he took cancer, and I mean, he is strangling it to death.
That's
I mean,
awesome.
He'd be down in the hospital. He's working out. He's down on the floor. The nurse is coming. Oh my gosh, on the floor. My God, no, don't worry about him. He's doing planks. He'd make me drag up 50 pounds of weights to his room. You know, I mean, he was fortunate enough to be getting under the wire for a Make-A-Wish and ask for a home gym.
That's
the kid
awesome.
He is in the best shape of his entire life.
That
people
is
look at
awesome.
Him and can't even believe he's still battling cancer.
That's
you know,
awesome.
And I know God is working on him. I know God's going to take him. And he looks at, you know, what he once said is, I don't want any parts of a hospital. I don't want to work in a hospital. And he was talking about going for PT. And now I see him coming around and saying, you know, Mom, I kind of think I want to work with kids or kids with special needs.
That's
or
awesome.
And just take what, you know, and I said, you know, God, I look at you and I think this kid, I had no idea what he was going to do. And now look where you're taking him. And it blows my mind. You know, when you get to step back, and you're right, not everybody gets to see that immediate understanding. I've been fortunate enough to
sure.
see it with him and him too. But again, that's not just like automatic. That's a lot of keep the faith, bud.
Absolutely.
You know, keep praying. God's got a plan for you. You know,
definitely.
We're just going to keep going with this. We're going to ride this train. We have no other choice.
Amen.
You know, and God's taken us to the right doctors and the right places and the right people and been able to even just talk to others and help others
yeah.
through situations. You know, I'm always, you know, excited when someone tells me about somebody else who's kind of gone. So, gosh, if I could help them in any way,
sure.
you know, I.
And you know what, you guys, and you'll move it forward, you'll pay it forward.
That's it.
And you have paid
that's
it forward.
It.
Your son will pay it forward.
Yep, it's the truth. Me, Andrew, and I talk about all the time, like, how can we do things? Like, what can we do to help? And
sure.
simple things. Like, we used to have a lamp down in the hospital. A lamp. And people are like, wow, this is a great idea. I'm like, just a lamp in a room. Like, Andrew, we're going to do something at some point here, you and I. And we're going to get things, you know, for just to kind of that little teeny tiny
sure.
bit of help. Just to get them through. Like, you just never know.
Yeah.
You know?
We were talking about Make-A-Wish. I don't know if you saw it last week. Jordan gave $10 million. Did you see
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah, I did.
But it was pretty cool.
Cool.
I mean, he's got, you know,
Very cool.
He's got a gazillion. But on his 60th birthday, like, he was still, like, you know, I thought that was amazing because that's such a big source of strength for families.
Absolutely.
You know,
well, and look at Andrew. 2 years prior, in 10th grade, he was down at the Make-A-Wish Village working in Disney.
Man, that's crazy.
2 years prior, working with other kids
crazy.
Going through cancer, not knowing what his own...
But that was God preparing him for this journey.
That's my point. You don't even
yeah,
realize.
No doubt.
It's God's got a hand in all of it.
Absolutely.
You know? The people that we are meet every day along the street or in our jobs or my students or whatever. And to me... It's and the bottom line is it's a lot about love.
Amen.
You know, when you see people who really just truly outpoured love, like God's in there somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know,
he's
they may not
everywhere.
Know it, but they got
absolutely.
God's in there and he's working on them. You know,
no doubt.
And like,
I'm all over the road here because there's things that are coming up. But
yeah.
you mentioned K-Love. Like, let's talk a minute about like the power of music.
Oh,
like,
it's unbelievable. Like, I can't even
I'm
tell
with you.
You.
I feel like it's like, and again, it's like a. You know, we came up in the sterile nature of church music, and there's a place for some of the old time hymnals.
It's true,
but like I think you know, there's nothing, and that, I think it's been great for my family's faith journey, because like groups like Third Day, my song Souls
sure.
on Fire, and like
sure.
you know. Matthew West and I mean there's
well, Ryan
so many,
Stevenson Eye of the
oh,
Storm
amazing.
I mean talk
amazing.
About a point in my life
yeah.
like I was like oh my gosh
but
this song's
it's
so
relevant
powerful.
And, it, and
mm-hmm.
it's inspiring
and it's like talking to you a lot of days you know they
yeah.
always say on the station oh I got, you know it's the right song at the right time and so many times I have and then there's days that it doesn't
yeah.
so what do I pull up my playlist I'm gonna play well that
no,
song's
no.
what I need right now
yeah.
so I'm gonna listen to that one
yeah.
you know like you just
it's
so true the power
yeah.
of music
it's
is
amazing.
Unbelievable
yeah.
you know
I think it was Augustine who said he used things praise twice And I'm not musically inclined to, you know, playing an instrument or, you know, God knows my family doesn't want me to sing, but music is a huge part of our faith journey as a family. Cause you know, on our group chat, I just heard a really cool song by K-Love or so-and-so. Mercy Me's got a new release or something.
But I love it.
It's such a big part.
Well, how about
God.
My son, Kyle, right? So Kyle is going to, down in Nashville, he's going to Belmont for audio engineering,
production. That's awesome.
And I said to my husband, I'm like, I know it's far. It's going to kill us for him to be so far away. But right there, you know, you've got all the music recording studios.
Yeah.
In fact, K-Love Station's there. So this kid has always been all over with music. He loves all different kinds of music. But he was younger. He was writing Christian songs. You know, I mean, now
that's
he does
awesome.
Hip-hop. He's all over the place. You know, I'm hoping someday he kind of comes back over here.
No, he will.
I think he
it's
will.
It's in God's
plan. Because it is. And it's also in part of his, you know, part of who
journey.
He is as
yeah.
his past. You know, and even if it's a song just for mom, I'll love it.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
But it's awesome, you know, and music does play such a huge part, you know. I can't even tell you. That is like that's the one thing.
Yeah.
I always would try to tell people, give it a chance. Just give it a chance.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to get through the ones you're like, oh, I love this song.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Get through it because the next one you might love,
no,
you
no.
know. And
I
if you need a playlist, say, you know, knock on my door. I'll be happy to send you one.
Yeah, my wife, her playlist, she's half of her songs are Christian rock songs that we fell in love with. And
well, like I said, my mom stuff. Is really where it came from. You know, I mean, she's always had a passion for music and for, you know, Christian music specifically. So she was kind of turning us along all the way. Even Kyle before myself, you know, she would send him
That's
songs
awesome.
And before I got into that music, you know.
So you'll have Tennessee, you'll have Sacred Heart. What's
I don't
what's
know. Cameron may end up in Rhode Island. I'm not sure, but he may end up in where you live.
Well, if he gets up
I have a feeling he's going to end up north.
Okay. All right. We'll definitely, I got some good,
oh,
some
good,
good. Haunts that we can send you to. And if you get up there to visit, I could definitely help you with that too.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
I wanted to talk real quick about we talked about Andrew's journey a little bit and just from a college perspective, you know, when it came time for him to go to college and we're like, you know, you're making decisions by, you know, May 1st. This is all going on from February now till
sure.
May 1st. I'm like, what do we do? I don't even know what can he even go to college?
Sure.
Does he have to go local? You know, and the doctors were, you know, said, no, he'll be able to go. I said, okay, what does that look like? Now he has to come home for treatment.
Sure.
He comes home every month. He's on oral chemo every day. He deals with nausea every day. I mean, you know, the kid takes tons of medication, but that college he's at, I'll tell you.
Sacred Heart.
It's Sacred Heart up in Connecticut. And that college, you know, when I called, because I started calling schools, like, what can you do for him? Can
sure.
we defer him for a year? What are we going to do? And some schools were like, sorry, can't do anything. And I was like, can't do anything. Okay. All right. Well, when I called Sacred Heart, I'm telling you, it was a Friday night, 5 o'clock. I left, I emailed. I called and they were closed. I left an email for the admissions counselor. Within 15 minutes, she called me back and said, Mrs. Schmidt, here's what we're going to do for you. You know, we're going to defer him. We want to help you out. We want to give you a little bit more money. We want to be there. And then she would text me, call me, how's Andrew?
That's
how's
awesome.
Andrew? We had gone up. We even visited Parents Weekend. We went up there. They, the President University, the Vice, I mean, they were, the outpouring of love is like nothing I've ever seen.
That's
to be
awesome.
Now, not only Mount Carmel when they were young, Lansdowne Catholic, and then on the college level. I mean, just again, God is setting it all up. He's working. And then, you know, a lot of times I think that we forget to look back to see where was God.
Yeah.
When you really step back
amen.
And you look,
amen.
You see, God was there.
Yeah.
He was there. He was there all along.
Definitely.
We just don't look at it sometimes.
Yeah. It's
you
the
know?
Footprints, right?
He it's was the footprints.
In those really, really hard times, there's one set because he's carrying it.
That's right. It's the truth.
You
and
know?
Even like your own parents. Like I look at my mom and I've talked about her so many times, but I'm so grateful God gave her to me,
amen.
You know, and for her to my boy, like, you know, such a faith setting groundwork
that's awesome.
You know, I don't know. God's always there.
Yep. Yeah. Someone gave me great context before when I was having trouble with one of my kids. It's like, hey, you know, in the timeline of eternity.
Yeah.
Right. This is your God. You don't, it's not your child, it's God's child.
Mm-hmm.
And like this, you're the steward, like you're the caretaker.
Right.
You know, and like what you do with whatever you're dealt with, you're being evaluated and God's watching you. And
that's where you're like, Lord, Help me.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go with this.
No doubt.
Because, I mean, kids are not easy.
Oh, no doubt.
They are not easy.
Definitely.
Especially three rambunctious teenage boys, you know? I mean, they're not easy.
Definitely.
And, you know, parenting is a hard job. It's probably the hardest job in the world.
Absolutely.
And I always
say, there's no manual for it.
There's no manual. And I say, it's so hard. It's hard to be a good parent.
Yeah.
It's easy to be not so good of a parent.
No doubt.
It's hard to be a good
parent.
And you look and you say, I need help. I need direction.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where God, you have to, you're right. You look at that and you think, okay. You're in control.
Absolutely.
Give me the guidance on what I
no
need
doubt.
To do.
No doubt. Talk about your experience going to an all-girls high school.
Oh, I loved it. You know, talking about my mom went to all-girls. She went to, oh, gosh, I'm losing my mind. The all-girls Catholic school that was not.
Callahan?
No, not Catholic.
Flower?
I'm sorry, no. All-girls high school in the city. Before
Girls High?
Girls High. Thank
okay.
you. Thank you.
Yeah,
Girls
yeah,
High.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. It's a simple enough
yeah,
name.
Yeah.
Girls High. She went there, and I remember her saying, oh, you're going to love an all-girls Catholic school. I said, oh, no, I'm not. I want to go to Archbishop Wood with all my friends. And at that time, it was still girls
separated,
and boys, but they were going to be going co-ed in 2 years.
Okay.
So my mom says, oh, no, you're going to take the test. I said, oh, well, I'm going to show you. I am going to not even try on
minutes.
That test. I was so rude at the interview, which was so out of character for me. I thought she was going to kill me. And then I said, what did you do? Pay them off over there to make me go there? And in hindsight, again, God's got a plan. I loved every second of it. You know, I mean, I made some amazing friends I'm still, you know,
That's
close
awesome.
With today who I am just, in fact, one of them, believe it or not, is still, it comes over to LC. All these years later, connect to find these people. And
that's
she does
cool.
crisis work over at LC.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
You just, you never know, like from so many years ago. And at that point, she went through a hard time, you
sure.
know, lost her mom. So you have all these people that are in your life and then they're continuing and God brings them back at different times. You know,
sure.
it's just it's unbelievable to me. So the all girls Catholic high school I loved every second.
I really believe
I
this too. I believe this, like, because of the moral compass and the expectation, like, because when we're in the same boat, we both live in good districts, right? We could have chosen other
sure,
options,
of
right?
course,
and they would have been good options.
They would have been good, absolutely.
But like,
again,
you're investing money, okay? You know, because it's more than AP offerings and
oh, sure.
and championships and robotics and college placement and acceptance
well,
rates.
It's because it's the one thing it can't give me,
no
you know, doubt. And that's the thing. I mean, I wanted the religion for the kids.
Absolutely.
I wanted the continuation from what I was teaching at
sure.
home. So for Chris and I, like that made the most sense.
But
you
I
know?
Believe, I do believe that, you know, and again, when you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, going through the... You know, the finger wagging,
oh, yeah.
you know, catechisms and church dogma and theology classes and scripture. You know, I do believe, though, that that's why I would, this is a kind of a horseback observation, but I would put some stock into it. Like, I think that's one of the reasons why the bonds at Catholic
mm-hmm.
schools are stronger
sure.
because it's beyond just reading, writing, arithmetic. Algebra, AP offerings, you know.
Well, and let's face it. I mean, you're forced to go to Mass.
So yeah.
You're now worshiping together, you know, whether
yeah.
you want to be or not.
And sometimes, like, and again, I think the lessons of, like, you know, and this is the thing, I try and impart on my own kids. Like, hey, there's days when I feel so dialed in my own journey, right?
Oh,
like,
true.
And I feel like I'm right at the foot of the cross. And then there's days where, or masses, or periods of time, right?
Where you're disconnected,
you know,
sure.
where you're just, you know, Mother Teresa talks about it, you know, the dark night of the soul. And you know, and where you're just like, man, I can't see you, Lord. But we keep pursuing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and we keep, like, it's like, you know, and it's like... It's like sports. Some days you feel like, you know, you're really dialed in. Some days you feel like you got a bear on your back and you can't get out of your own way. Some days you're motivated. Some days you're not. Some days you come out of Mass and you're like, what the heck just happened? I didn't even feel like I was present. But I do believe that God rewards us with the graces that come with that because we're diligent.
That's right.
And it's, you know, we're not just showing up when your kid, we're healthy and,
right.
and,
oh, yeah.
and it's sunshine and we got the promotion at work or the raise or
right.
my marriage is at the an all-time great place. We're showing up there, rain or shine, you know, rich or poor, sick or healthy, you know, good and bad. And I think it's that durability, you know, in our faith journey. But I do think that plays out into the relationships for our kids and for us, those of us that went to Catholic school.
I also think it's community too, right? 100%. I mean, you know, I'm always in awe of the families with younger kids. Look, it's not easy. They're in church. They're trying to keep them occupied. They're trying to teach them how to pray. And we did it. You know, I've dragged twins, you know, in both arms, and my other one hanging on my shirt and we're all like, okay, this is not easy, but we're going to keep going and we're going to keep being diligent. And what are we getting out of this? I don't know. A lot of frustration, you know. But I kept saying, okay, do it for the kids. All right. We're going to teach. You know, and then over time, you see them like, okay, you know, it becomes so important to them, you know, and it's that sense of community that it's not just, you know, about being there. It is about being there for God, but it's also that sense of community and seeing all these other people that also are there for the same reason, you know.
It's funny you said that about the young people, because now we're like, you know, my sons are, you know, out and about doing their thing. And my, you know, Kira likes to go to friends church with a friend. So, you know, we go, my wife and I, we usually go to the 4:30 on Sundays at Immaculate Conception, 4:30 on Sundays. And, but like, you know, a different, you know, we did it, but there was a family behind us last night that had, you know, three or four kids, and it's that, you know, it's the scramble mode. You're like, you know, you feel like telling them it gets better, but like how
I do sometimes.
Yeah.
Just hang in there. I'm so, you have no idea.
Yeah.
It's going to work. Trust me. Hang in there.
But mad respect for them too.
Oh, you know, like, 100%.
Being able to, like,
100%. Because it's hard.
Yeah. I think it's even harder now, like with all the distractions that young people have, as early as like 4 or 5 years old.
Oh, I agree.
You know, I know we touched on a little bit, you touched on a little bit with the rosary, but one of the things I love about our Catholic faith that is in fact different than our Protestant brothers and sisters is, you know, we have so many platforms to worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the sacramental mass, we have confession. And I tell you what, I went to confession on Saturday, and I haven't been in probably 14 months.
Yeah.
And I just felt it was awesome.
I know. It was, and like, it's funny you say this, because when I looked at your original list, I thought, it's confession for me.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely one of the most humbling, you know, but you're really forced to take in and think. I mean, I think one of the biggest things I have to stop and think about in confession is forgiveness.
Sure.
You know, whether it's forgiving myself or forgiving someone else, which is so hard sometimes. You know, I think it's so easy. We forgive forgive you. Okay, you give your forgive me. But then when somebody else hurts you and you're I can just easily dismiss that person
from
my
life. I'm Irish, so I never forgive. So you can appreciate that.
I'm not going to cross you, Joe.
Irish Alzheimer's. You forget everything but a grudge.
That's great.
But it's the truth. I mean, and the humility that takes.
Yeah,
right?
It's not easy.
And maybe for males too, because we tend to, you know, we tend to minimize our shortcomings. And when we fall short of Christ, it wasn't that bad. I could justify that. I'm a big ticket thing. So I'm kind of, you know, my sins are kind of, but it's still, all sin separates you from God.
Sure.
You know, and at the end of the day, like whether it's the venial sins, whether, you know, I've always, you know, I sometimes in my own simple mind, I justify, well, the big ticket things, I'm not a criminal. I do think I'm a faithful husband. So like, I'm not on the big ticket things,
right.
but all my sin, even the repetition and the ones that I do all the time, it separates me from God.
It does.
When you're forced to make that, like that, some people say, oh, why do I got to do it in a public way to another human being? You do. God knows your sin.
He already knows it. I think it's really you speaking it out loud. It's like hearing it in your own ear.
No doubt.
You know?
And owning it.
And exactly. That's right. Exactly. And but when you stop and think, right, about, you know, that you're in there, and it doesn't matter whether you're in confession or not, God's forgiving. He always is forgiving. He's all those things, big, little, like, he's going to forgive.
No doubt.
And that's not, you know, you don't just keep doing things because of that, but at the same time, it makes it so much more realistic to say, ooh, you know, I've really got to forgive that person.
No doubt.
That, God can forgive me, well, I got to be able to forgive too. And it's hard, you know, but I'll tell you, it's one of the things I really, you know, love, I think, about the Catholic Church is that, you know, that constant, the confession, the forgiveness, like all that kind of goes together
because
you really are forced to think about yourself and you're forced to think about how you deal with others, you know.
And then also, too, sometimes, like, with loved ones that, like, you know, are still holding on to this, the unforgiveness.
I know.
And you're like, hey, bud. Like, God forgave you years ago for
that.
Like, why are you holding on? And if we believe what we say we believe in, you holding on to the unforgiveness within yourself, like that's contradictory to what you preach and what
and
you
not to mention on. I feel like, you know, when you hold on to that, you can't move on.
No,
you can't move
on. It truly retards your development.
It does. Yeah. It really does. But when you can really, you think, wow, you know, I can remember a time in my life where it was a big one, and I really had to search deep and talk to God, and I went to the priest, and I was like, I really got to find a way to forgive. And when I finally decided that, it was like, oh my gosh.
Lord, at the end of the day, you're the one that crippling.
It's crippling yourself. That's exactly right. It's crippling yourself. It really is, you know. And I think, you know, just I know we're probably getting near time.
Yeah,
and
we got a couple more minutes.
One of the things I really want people to take away, too, is just to stop and think, like, every day, the gratefulness, you know, the starting over, you know, God, I know I'm not easy. I know I have a lot. I know. Please help me with my family today. The people that challenge you the most, right? It's easy to be kind to the other people, but the people that challenge you the most on the
deal,
you know, help me to continue to forgive. Help me to continue to love. Let's start over today and just thank you for being with me every waking minute of my life, you know, sleeping, waking, whatever. Thank you for being with me all the time.
Amen.
You know,
it's like the reset button. Begin again, right?
It is.
Chepe, begin again. Like St. Paul, St. John tells us, you know, we get to begin again with every day.
Every day.
For me, this is the first, probably the first Lent in years that I'm making a concerted effort with my prayer life, like to dial in more and to start my day out with prayer. And like just, again, with that, when it's just he and I in the quietness, just saying, listen, man, this just give me perspective, give me you know, gratitude, and set me out for like my relationships and everybody I touch tonight.
Every day. I say the same thing every single day. It's the same thing for me. And I know I'm going to fall along the way.
Absolutely.
But like you said, every day you get another reset, you know, and you just, I don't know, your life becomes more positive.
It really does.
You know, and you get to really focus on that. And you think, well, I can really deal with the negative stuff because I got to focus
the
over here.
I think, glasses.
Oh, for me? Right. I love that. I love that because I use that in class. Where's your glass? Is it half empty? Is it half full?
Let's make
it half full all the time, you know?
Definitely. I want to just, as we close here, you know, I'm listening to the gospel yesterday with Christ being tempted by the devil. You know, it's amazing to me that, like, when you look at the mysteries of the rosary, him suffering in the agony in the garden, like, you know, when God revealed himself in its entirety to us with Christ, like, Jesus showed us how to handle every situation.
That's true.
Like, he, you know, and it always bothered me when in the agony in the garden, like, you're God. Like, why are you scared? All the while, he's showing us how to surrender, how to turn it over, how to handle temptation when the devil comes to us and he says, man cannot live by bread alone. All the things that creep into our, you know, the negativity and the self-doubt and all of it, like in all of his majesty, like it was Christ that was fully human and fully divine that showed us how to rely on God in everything we were doing.
That's it.
You know,
it's really unbelievable when you do think about that.
Oh,
it's the
amazing.
Scared piece is
absolutely,
and there's a lot of scary moments.
Yeah,
I mean, every day, you know, things.
Your
come
story
up.
Is incredibly inspirational.
Wow,
continue praying.
I'm for
you,
like
and
I
your
said,
family.
You know, I feel very blessed to, and I know this again sounds so odd, but to have lived, you know, in an experience like this, because as hard as it's been, God's always shown up, you know,
Amen.
And God shows up, you know, you just have to be willing to receive him, you
Amen.
Know, and I just want to thank all my friends and family out there supporting and listening to me today, but
awesome.
God, just, you know, guys, keep the faith, everybody out there, because God loves you, you
Amen.
Know, and he will take care of you.
Absolutely. Loved having you,
Lise. All right, Joe.
Look forward to seeing you again. Folks, have a great week. Thanks again
take
for tuning
care, everybody.
In. Bye-bye now.
Bye.